Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's News Radio.
So you're in the car, and you've got, like, cords running all over the place because everybody's trying to charge everything. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save is with me. And you've got one heck of an item this morning to keep us charged and rolling. Good morning, pal.
Good morning, though. It is the ultimate $16 car upgrade, and this is a really interesting phenomenon because even the most well-equipped cars, we're talking the very fancy models that some of our listeners are privileged enough to drive, it's rare to have any ports or any place to plug in or any way to keep your kids entertained in the back seat. The front is barely taken care of. The back, well, good luck on a road trip with those youngsters in the rear.
Exactly, exactly.
So there is something where it's one of those gadgets. You think, well, why didn't I think of this? Why didn't someone else bring this to the market more soon? And it's a way to effectively wire up your whole car without making a mess. Why do we like this? Well, you plug into the DC or cigarette lighter in the front of the car, and then with just a really intricate, easy pass-through cable, all of a sudden, you get something to clip onto the back seat where all car seats now have their own charge port.
Excellent. So everybody can stay charged.
Absolutely. We're talking Apple, Android, any device you plug in, tablet, iPad Pro. And the reason this is so significant, obviously, is this time of year where people are traveling. Sometimes we're stuck in a car a little bit longer due to inclement weather. You've got to commute, whatever it is. This is a way to keep anyone entertained. Each seat, really good grab. The gadget that I said usually retails for about $35. It's extremely well rated from actually one of the top brands we've seen on Amazon, and it is now $16, WTAM.com, keyword save.
Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News. Watch him there this morning. Back here Monday with some more savings. WTAM.com, keyword save. Matt, thanks. Have a good weekend, pal.
Awesome.
Mike Snyder, Sports Mornings, 15 and 45 past. You saw it yourself. What happened?
The Cavs just fizzled in the third quarter,
wow.
Bill. And, well, they made 9 threes in the first half, made 1 in the second half, and it got very, very ugly. But the Cavaliers took the lead. They were down by 1, 20 seconds to play. Isaiah Thomas would get fouled with 11 seconds to go. He made both free throws to put them up by 1, and then here's what happened.
Frank Vogel has 2 timeouts remaining. He's not going to use one here.
It's all about defense now. Don't foul.
Ball is inbound.
Be aggressive.
To Payton. 7 seconds left. Payton top of the key. Stutter steps to the lane. Spins. Floats it up. Nope. Put back. Nope. Tip off Biombo's face and out of bounds. Actually, they're going to say it is magic basketball. This certainly is going to be reviewed. 2/10 of a second show right now on the shot clock.
After video review, it was an inadvertent whistle. It will have a jump ball at center court. 0.2 on the clock.
But I'm not sure where the inadvertent whistle occurred there, but they had the jump ball. Magic called for a violation, and the Cavs held on for a 104-103 win. Isaiah Thomas led the Cavs with 21. LeBron, a rough night, only 16 points. He had 6 turnovers as well. Here's what he said.
Because we want to play better, and we know we have the ability to do it, but right now we're in Strugglesville. But it felt like a win. We needed it, definitely.
Well, when you got to say it felt like a win after a win, I don't know if it really felt like a win, but they'll take it, as it was not a good night all around. But as it was Orlando with the worst record in the league, LeBron later via Twitter said, man, I was garbage tonight. Thank God for my teammates. Appreciate it. He is now 25 shy of 30,000 points. Can he reach that milestone tomorrow? Well, the Cavs are going to have to play a whole lot better if they're going to win one tomorrow, as the Oklahoma City Thunder will be in town. That is a 3:30 start. But even though they got a win, snapped a 4-game losing streak, the only team they've beaten now in the last 13 days are the Orlando Magic. Browns have a new special teams coach, Amos Jones. He'd been with the Cardinals for the last 5 years. He's headed here. Interesting guy. He played for Bear Bryant and was a grad assistant under Bear for a couple of years. Well, we'll find out who's going to the Super Bowl on Sunday. The AFC game, 3:05 kickoff in New England. Patriots in Jacksonville. And what is going on with Tom Brady's hand? He did not practice yesterday after doing something to it. Nothing official from the Patriots as to what the injury may be, but he reportedly, a teammate ran into his hand, so Brian Hoyer is his backup. Hoyer getting most of the work at practice yesterday. Brady is expected to meet with the media today, so a question mark there over the Patriots. That'll be the first game on Sunday, followed by the NFC Championship in Philly, Eagles and the Vikings in a 6:40 kickoff. And baseball will be in the air in our town this weekend. It is Tribe Fest tomorrow, and the majority of the Indians players will be in town. Coming up at 5:45, a win is a win, but nobody was smiling much for the Cavs. We'll hear from Coach Lou about it coming up in sports. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
Stories playing out today, and the next couple include Vice President Pence finally making that overseas trip. Bill Zimfer joins me on that story this morning. Bill, good morning. Was this the one that was delayed back before Christmas?
Yeah, they called this off back in December, and if you remember, that was when the tax reform package was going to a vote, and Pence said, I want to be here in case I have to break a tie. However, it was also at a time when there were a lot of protests in the Middle East. It came after the president announced that he would recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. That had to play a part in it as well. They're going to give it another go-round here, but it's still not a calm situation in the Middle East.
His agenda is just to talk to everybody and try and keep the calm, I guess?
Yeah, he will first stop in Egypt and meet with President Assisi there. And again, it's a political tightrope because Egypt, while they want to maintain a relationship with the United States for security reasons and also because we get Egypt gets a lot of aid from the United States, they want to maintain the relationship. However, Egypt is not wild about the Palestinian move, the anti-Palestinian move. So it's a little bit of a tightrope there. Same thing in Jordan, where Vice President Pence will go next and then on to Israel, where he will get a warm welcome there. However, the Palestinian issue will still be at the forefront of this visit.
Bill Zimfer on it. Bill, thanks.
You're welcome.
Meanwhile, back in Washington, keeping things running. House passed a piece of legislation last night to continue government funding for about 30 days, but of course there's questions over in the Senate. Fox's Chris Wallace on that and a couple other things this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. This will all play out, of course, today and tonight, maybe over the weekend. We'll see more on Fox News Sunday. Chris, your take on what you're seeing here with this this whole debate and talk of the shutdown story and the funding.
And I think what's really kind of confounding and concerning about this is it's not just a split between Republicans and Democrats. It's also a split within the parties, within the Republican Party. There's some who say, look, let's just keep funding the government. There's some, particularly defense hawks, who say we've got to start funding the Pentagon, and we're not going to do another one of these short-term bills that doesn't increase spending. Similarly for the Democrats, there's some who say, particularly those who are going to be running in moderate or conservative states, Democrats running for re-election in states Trump won 2 years ago, or, you know, in 2016,
sure.
They want to fund the government. And then there are the people, particularly the ones who may run for president in 2020, who are saying, no, we got to side with the Dreamers and DACA and the left-wing base of the party. So they have really tied themselves into knots. And one of the reasons why I think it would be a terrible mistake to shut down the government, besides the obvious reasons, is, you know, it's one thing to be tied up in knots, but the government is running.
Right.
If you're tied up in these knots and the government isn't running, I don't think they're going to get out of it anytime soon.
Fox's Chris Wallace. Watch him on Fox News Sunday morning, Fox 8. Of course, this will all play out, I'm sure, while Rush is on the air. Rush's take on all this. Rush Limbaugh follows the news at noon, WTAM 1100.
Movies for the weekend. Want to get out? Got a couple new ones. Kevin Carr joins me from FatGuysTheMovies.com on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, buddy. Den of Thieves, Forever My Girl out this weekend. We also have 12 Strong and Hostiles, a bit of a post-Civil War Western, I guess. Let's start with Hostiles first. Christian Bale in this thing, right?
Yeah, Christian Bale plays a Union captain who is he's best known for basically killing Indians during the huge conflict that went on, and of course there's a new world coming and things are changing, and he is tasked with taking an Indian chief who also has had a pretty sordid history of violence over the last several years, but escorting him back to his tribe land, back west, all the way out to Wyoming, I believe, and it's him struggling with the change of time, the fact that he has to basically be the escort for his enemy and struggling with the decisions there. And then along the way, they meet a woman who's been widowed and terrified by a rogue Indian tribe. And it's kind of like Unforgiven. It's trying to be like Unforgiven, where it's bringing in the regret and the we shouldn't have done that, and sort of reconciling your past. You know, it has all the elements of a Western. My biggest problem with it is that it's so grim and bleak and heavy, and it's sort of like a Western done. It's a Western overdone in a lot of ways to me.
How's Bale in it?
Well, he's good. I mean, he plays sort of like, you remember in The Dark Knight Rising when he was sort of with the hobo beard and everything?
Yeah, yeah.
It's basically if that version of Bruce Wayne went to the post-Civil War to escort an Indian chief.
I got it. All right, Hostiles out this weekend. Well, horses are big. We got Chris Hemsworth is on a horse, too, this weekend. 12 Strong. Interesting storyline. Actually came out of a pretty successful book called Horse Soldiers. Tell me about 12 Strong.
Well, this is the story of basically the first wave of American response to the Taliban after 9/11. It takes place in October of 2001, where Chris Hemsworth takes basically a special team of soldiers, and they have to go into Afghanistan to try to go after Al Qaeda and avenge what was going on and try and stop all of the terrorist cells that were building at the time. Now, of course, if you know anything about military history, Afghanistan was always a troubled spot and very difficult for a lot of other, historically, everyone from all the way back to Alexander the Great to conquer it, and it's a way that he and his team work to go after it. It's complex, and that's, of course, because that's the way it was. So it is a little bit hard to follow, you know, strategically and militarily, but it's a well-done movie, and, it has a couple corny moments, but overall, I think it makes the most of the situation of trying to explain exactly what the objective was in that specific mission.
If you're old enough to remember when we went into Afghanistan officially, there were reports that we already had the special forces on the ground, and this really is what plays out, I guess. The guys that were on horses early on, then, huh?
Yeah, having to kind of go old school and sort of get your feet wet into the land there before you really go in.
All right, 12 Strong out this weekend. Hostiles, Forever My Girl, Den of Thieves, too, also at the movies. Kevin Carr is at fatguysthemovies.com. Check his website out before you get out and check out a flick this weekend. Thanks, Kevin.
All right.
And now, 5 Good Minutes.
Jerry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com, graduate Benedictine, 8-time Ohio Sports Writer of the Year with us on this Friday morning. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Morning, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Wills.
Let us start with last night. Our Cleveland Cavaliers pulled off a 104-103 win. We were up only what, 20 points at one at the half? What
might even have been 23, but point. Yeah.
What do you make of this? What do you make of this?
I guess you get their look in their faces. It's like I never thought winning was so hard, and that was kind of what it was. It was actually nice to see Isaiah Thomas make some big plays at the end for them because they needed something from him. But it's been just baffling how everything is such a struggle.
Terry, we've talked about this in January before. We've been down this road, but it does look different this year. I'm more concerned this year than I have been the last couple of years.
Well, the part of it is they can't figure out who to play when. You know, they always talk about combinations, rotations, and that. Well, there's nothing rotating. It keeps falling on its side, and the combinations are almost like sometimes names pull out of a hat. Also, now they're trying to play Derrick Rose in there with everybody else. I don't have a really good answer other than you can't play 11 guys. And so I'm curious to see how Ty Lue works all this out.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts. We know that. Now, yesterday after the game, too, he talked about how when things go bad, you got to start getting Kevin Love the ball inside. Love so often is outside on that three-point line, and I agree with him. Kevin Love can do some damage inside. They need to work some of that.
Because he's also a very good free throw shooter, so it isn't just a matter he can score inside. He'll draw fouls, and, you know, that will help your team, too. And I do think Love is a guy that's now starting to get lost, too, since Isaiah Thomas came back. There's only a certain amount of shots. And as we can see, Isaiah Thomas is not shy about taking them. So, again, these are all things they do need to work out. Defensively, they played well for a while, and then it was the same old garbage where, a way up drill on the other end, or the guard one pass, but if you throw two or three passes against the Cavs, you're almost guaranteed an open shot. That, to me, is that's persistent almost no matter who plays when.
Well, LeBron had an awful night for him. He even tweeted out that he played like garbage. Tomorrow, though, Terry, he's 25 shy of 30,000. Think about his career coming out of high school, all the attention he got. Boy, he's lived up to it and gone beyond it, hasn't he?
Yeah, and when he said the other day how, he never was hung up on scoring and that, it's so true. I went back for a column that's going to run when he hits the 30,000. You know how many times he scored 40 or more points in high school? 4 years? Take a guess, Mike.
I would say probably just a handful, maybe two or three.
Yeah, it was seven. But okay. Remember, that's all those games. That's like more than 100 games. And, this is a guy that scored 25 in his first NBA game. It goes all the way back to him playing for Drew Joyce II and Keith Dambrod. It was drilled into him about, playing the total game. The most he ever scored in a game was 52 in high school, and that was against a team called L.A. Westchester with Trevor Ariza. It was a big-time game. I was actually at a nationally ranked game. He could have – remember, this was when DeJuan Wagner scored 100 points in a game in high school back then, when guys were racking up big numbers. And for the most part, he was just like what you see now, interested in doing this. He's got a chance to become like the accidental all-time leading scorer in NBA history.
Good stamp. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Another minute. Get you out of here on some Tribe Talk. I think all of us Indians fans have had a bad taste in our mouth most of the winter.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. Terry Francona helped me spit it out the other night with his attitude at the Sports Awards, like, look, we're going to get at it in Arizona. We get it. He's had that bad taste in his mouth, too, Terry.
I think so, and it didn't help, too, losing both Santana and Ruth in the offseason. You add Alonzo, but that is another thing there that I think hurt to an extent. But,
yeah.
The old thing, realistically, look at it, you still have a terrific team. But I was glad to hear what he said. They're going to come back with a vengeance.
Vengeance.
I like that.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Good follow on Twitter. Have a great weekend. Thanks, pal.
Take care.
Outreach Tribe Fest is this weekend. Joel Hammond, Executive Vice President of Morning Show Outreach, with us in studio from your Cleveland Indians. Hello, Joel.
Hello. Thank you for the new title, Bill. And by the way, I've got the Jags and the Vikes this weekend.
Do you? Ooh.
Yes.
Going Jacksonville, huh?
Sure.
Well, you made Scooter's Day. Yeah?
Okay. All right, Scoot.
Okay.
Right.
I liked it. Some refer to this as Camino Fest. We've moved this thing around. It's at the convention center this weekend. Hey, before we talk about Tribe Fest, seriously, I'm at Indians.com this morning. I got to commend you. You guys do a great job. You captured a lot of video pics from the other night at the Sports Awards. And I thought Terry Francona did a nice job, Joel, setting the mood for this upcoming season, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, nobody's more disappointed that we were early exiters from the playoffs than our players, our manager, our staff, and our front office. And I think he came out and said, we're going to come out with a vengeance in 28 days. I don't think anybody's happy with that. And our fans have, we've been relatively quiet this offseason, but partially because we have a really good team already. So, I think our fans should be excited, and it sounds like Terry certainly is.
And we got that tone set from Terry, and now this weekend we're going to get to see Joe. I'm amazed at the number of players who are going to be here for this weekend.
Yeah, we've got about 25 guys coming, all the big names. We've got, except for Corey and Edwin, will not be here, but we've got Jose and Frankie and Andrew Miller, Carlos Carrasco, Yonder Alonso, Jason Kipnis, and a bunch more guys. We had a bunch of guys at the Cavs game last night, some of the bullpen crew. So Mike Clevenger, Danny Salazar will be here, all those guys. So looking forward, these guys see this as an opportunity to kind of get re-energized, they like to see the fans' energy. Then they go, we go Tribe Fest, we go Truck Leaves, we go Pitchers and Catchers in 3 weeks. So it's really a good chance for our guys to get back into the swing of things.
Yeah, and this is the weekend tomorrow, really a chance to get close to your favorite player, right?
It is, and this, we are super excited about this year's event. We're at the convention center, first time there, 210,000 square feet. We've tweeted out some photos. If you're on Twitter, go to @Indians this morning to check out some of the scope of what this space is like. And in past years, maybe your best chance to get near players was to purchase an autograph session ticket. You don't need that this year. We're going to have players on the main stage, on our new kid stage, on our 90 by 90 baseball diamond, in our batting cages, all over the place. And there's so many more activities this year where that players can be involved in because of the space increase. We're real confident that it's going to be a pleasant surprise for our fans.
You know, in past years, you marked up maybe an hour, hour and a half, because that's pretty much the time you had to get through the lines, it seemed like. But you could spend a big part of the day here tomorrow, right?
You could, really? And the general public event is at 1:30. Again, general admission tickets are just $10, and we envision fans sticking around. There's a lot going on, just all the stuff that I just mentioned. We've got a ton of cool activations on our main stage. Our players are going to be answering questions. Terry and Chris will be up there with Hammy and Rosie. You know, our players are going to be playing games like Minute to Win It. Have you seen this Say What game where you put this thing in your mouth try to sound out?
They're going to do that?
They're going to do that. So hopefully no one injures their mouths, although I guess your mouth and your teeth aren't necessarily vital to playing baseball. But lots of great stuff on both stages all throughout the event. $10 GA tickets at Indians.com.
Okay, and the general admission starts at 1?
1:30. Yeah, we got season ticket holder event in the morning, kind of an exclusive thing for them to reward them, and then general public at 1:30. Parking on, there's a couple city-owned garages on Lakeside, so it should be a great day and great event.
Nick Camino being there broadcasting at 1 o'clock, I think, right?
And we've got all kinds of great guests lined up for him. So if you can't make it, you can tune in to WTAM, and he's got all kinds of great players and execs.
Listen on the way down, way back, if you want, with Camino tomorrow, 1 to 3. Okay, Indians.com. Truck heads out next week?
February 1st is when the truck heads out, so we're getting ready to roll.
All right, off the record, Tomey, next week. Announcement, Hall of Fame, what is it, Wednesday?
Wednesday night at 6 p.m. on MLB Network, and there's a guy on Twitter who tracks public ballots, and it sure seems like Jim's got the momentum to get in, so we'll see.
Let's hope. Joel, thanks, partner. Good seeing you.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Joel.
Joel Hammond, Indians, Tribe Fest tomorrow.